I can't help but chuckle with this picture on the screen that Ewald's chosen for the PowerPoint slide. It reminds me of my mama back in the late 50s, early 60s. Oh, the picture's gone. It wasn't there. Let's get back to that. No, that's not it. Okay. It was right there. Okay. You saw her, though. Okay. That's all right. You saw her. Knee-length dress, pearls, apron, doing housework. All those days are gone. That's all right. Let's now focus your attention over here to the sermon. Don't worry about that stuff. It's going to be hard, isn't it? Don't worry about that. Let's focus now on our text. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is, you've seen it, say it out loud. More than spring cleaning. Now is not the time to catch your sleep. Now is the time to give heed to God's word. Our sermon is based on John chapter 2, the gospel reading, these verses. Let me read them to you again. And Jesus that day found in the temple those who were selling oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers who were seated. And Jesus made a whip of cords and he drove them out of the temple and he poured out the coins of the money changers and he overturned their tables. I encourage you to follow the sermon outline that's provided for you on your handout as we again consider our theme. Say it with me again. More than spring cleaning. You know, I don't think I'll ever forget the first picture I saw in the first children's Bible I ever saw as a young person. It was a colored picture of this gospel account of Jesus driving the money changers out of the temple. I loved that picture when I was a young boy. It was neat. Jesus was not just a loving, compassionate, understanding Savior. He was also a rear-end kicking. I'm not going to put up with it. You can't do that kind of stuff in God's house, feisty and strong Lord. As a preteen boy, I thought that was pretty neat. Now, we don't often picture Jesus, do we, in the way this gospel reading is picturing him today, whip in hand, overturning tables, driving people and animals helter-skelter out of the outer precincts of the temple. Now, what was he doing? What was Jesus doing that day cleaning house? He was cleaning out his Heavenly Father's house. And it was much more than just spring cleaning. You know where the practice of spring cleaning actually came from? Did a little research. Spring cleaning refers to the annual act of cleaning a house from top to bottom in the first warm days of spring. This practice, if you knew, has historical roots all over the world, especially done in climates that are wet or cold. And in the 19th century in North America, before vacuums were invented, March was often the best time for spring cleaning. Spring cleaning, dusting and sweeping, because it was warm enough at this time to open up the doors and windows of your house to move the dust and dirt outside so the dust could be taken away by the blowing of the breezes. That's where spring cleaning came from. But as years passed, spring cleaning became related to any kind of heavy cleaning or organization job in your life. A person who gets their affairs in order before inspectors come can be said to be doing some spring cleaning. Now, as we said before in our John chapter 2 gospel reading, Jesus is doing much more than spring cleaning. The occasion is the Passover festival. It's an occasion for many, many people who only come to the Jerusalem temple once a year to come for worship. It's kind of like people today who come at Christmas and Easter. Well, because it was the yearly Passover festival, there were crowds of people coming to the temple, just like the pews are filled at Christmas and Easter. And some enterprising, fast-thinking people knew that the crowds would be there. And where the crowds were, money was to be made. In Jesus' own words, the outer precincts of God's temple was turned into a marketplace, a house of merchandise. We read in verse 16 again, Jesus said, "Stop making my Father's house a house of merchandise." Now, what was it that made our Lord so upset? Think about it for a moment. Well, first of all, at a high festival like the Passover, people were coming from all over the known world to this high holy festival day in Jerusalem. And any traveler who travels in other countries, even today, knows you need to exchange your currency for the local currency, like Canadian for American dollars when you travel. Well, at that time, local currency used in Jerusalem was needed for the worshipers to do two things: to pay a temple tax and also to buy an animal for your family's Passover sacrifice. Now, was Jesus upset because the money changers were ripping off the travelers and not giving them a decent exchange rate? Perhaps. But more likely, I suspect, it was the strange mixture of money exchanging hands in the precincts of God's temple and holy place. You see, the money changing didn't have to happen exactly where they set up shop to get it done. But it was a convenient place to catch the people when they were coming in for worship. And the first people that worshipers encountered when they came into God's temple only maybe once a year were the grubby money changers. And likely it could make the worshipers upset, turn them off, make them resentful, and make the beginning of their worship experience a negative thing. But besides the money changers were all of the animals. Now again, animals were needed for Passover worship. People did not haul their own animals with them from hundreds of miles away when they came to the Jerusalem temple. The animals also had to be inspected and certified as proper for sacrifice. Remember the words in the book of Exodus? A male lamb, spotless and without blemish. So you could say a service was being provided to the worship travelers to have the animals there for them. But again, just like the money changers, they didn't have to gather them in the outer precincts of the temple. But again, it was a convenient place for the marketers to make a buck. But also, now think about this. Can you imagine the noise and the mess and the smell of these animals in the outer precincts of the temple? Hey, how about we bring in a herd of sheep or cattle and station them in the narthex before every Sunday worship and see what you got to get through to get into this place? Now you can see why Jesus was so ticked off. Ripping people off with money right in the narthex. Animals ready for sacrifice. Sell them and buy what you want right there. They could have set up outside. They set up in the best place to make a buck. So not only were worshipers being ripped off by the money changers, they're coming to worship, fighting off the smell and the mess of a barnyard. Now we can better understand why Jesus was cleaning house. But you know, Jesus was concerned with much more than just cheating money changers and smelly animals. He was doing much more than spring cleaning. He was getting rid of the whole religious system that taught you a person can only come into God's presence if you pay a worship tax and if you buy an animal for sacrifice. This is my Father's house, said Jesus, not the business of cashing in on the worship of God, not the business of commercializing our relationship with God, not the religious of business of demanding the only way to God's presence is by your efforts, your deeds, your payments, your sacrifices. What Jesus is doing here in the temple this day is taking the first step of looking beyond needing the temple anymore. Jesus basically says, you want to come into the presence of God? You want to come into the presence of God? You don't need the temple tax. You don't need the animals. You don't even need the temple. Jesus declares, I will be the temple. I will be the presence of God in your midst. I will take you to the throne of the Father. And the road to the Father doesn't go through the mess and blood of those animals. It goes through the blood of the cross, through the sacrificial death of God's Son, Jesus Christ, who gave His life for you and for me. That's the way into God's presence from now on. Talk about cleaning house. But there's more. The house that Jesus was cleaning, it says in other places of Scripture. In fact, Jesus says, my house is to be a house of prayer for all nations. The word for nations in the Bible means Gentiles, non-Jewish people. Now, take a moment this morning, will you? Look around you. Go ahead. I don't encourage you to do this during the sermon very often, but look around you. Look around you. There are people from many different nations. There's a Finn. There's an Italian. There's a guy from Guyana, South Africa. There's some Chinese folks. There's some Germans of all kinds. There's some Americans. Wow. God's mercy and grace and His house is a house of prayer for all nations. Now, keep this in mind. Keep this in mind. Because there was an area for Gentiles to worship at the Jerusalem temple. But can you guess where it was at? The place where Gentiles had to gather was in the outer precincts of the temple. You guessed it. Where the money changers had set up shop. Where the animal sellers and their poop scoops were making the place a mess. That's where the Gentiles were forced to gather. When Jesus is driving these merchants out, and when He's cleaning out the animal sellers, He's doing much more than spring cleaning. He's doing more than cleaning house. He's not just cleaning up a mess. Do you understand? He's making room. He is opening up God's house for all nations, for all Gentiles, for all peoples. He is beginning work on a spiritual temple of God that does not charge admission, that does not position anybody on the outside, that doesn't make anybody a second-class citizen in God's eyes. Everyone is welcome to God's house. Everyone is welcome to God's love. My friends, can I ask you a favor? Can you help me get this message out to your friends, to your neighbors, to your family members? Everyone is welcome here in God's house and welcome to God's love. When Jesus cleans the temple, He's doing much more than spring cleaning. He opens up the kingdom of God to every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. And He who cleaned out the temple on the cross provided the cleaning for the whole world. Upon the cross, the shed blood of Jesus Christ washes away the sins of the world, washes away your sins. Thank God, washes away mine. He removes the mess and the stink and the guilt of your sin and mine and of the sin of the world. He who was greater than the temple gave His precious life for you. Because of Him, now you have direct access to Almighty God. You are forgiven. You are cleansed. You are forever God's child. Because of Jesus' sacrifice, there are no more any outcasts, no second-class people, nobody stuck in the back row in God's house. Nobody is beyond help. Nobody is beyond hope. Nobody is beyond the love and care of God. Folks, could you do me another favor? Could you do me a favor? Could you help me get this word out to your friends, to your neighbors, to your family members? But He who died for you also rose for you. His resurrection from death is your victory over the powers of sin, death, and the devil. Jesus' house cleaning at the temple and His house cleaning at the cross prepares a place for you in God's house forever in heaven. Jesus Himself said this in John chapter 14. These words I'm about to read to you, I am going to speak three times in the next week and a half. I have three funerals or three memorial services. Listen to these precious promises of God in John chapter 14. Because He who cleaned God's house at the temple, He who cleaned the house of the sins from the whole world, makes this promise to you and me. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. And I go to prepare a place for you." Well, as we end the sermon, I'm going to ask you for a show of hands. It's time to fess up. Who here has already done some spring cleaning? Okay. Who here is planning to do some spring cleaning? Okay. Well, whether you have done it or you have not done it or you will not do it, you know what? It makes absolutely no difference to God. And I will not come over to your house to give you the white glove treatment to make sure you've done your job. But at that temple long ago, and on that cross not long afterward, our dear Lord Jesus Christ was doing so much more than spring cleaning. He was cleaning your body and your soul for all eternity. And He was opening up the kingdom of God for all people, welcoming you. Welcoming me, welcoming all sinners who put their faith in Him into the mansions of God's house forever. And in that house, there never will be any need for spring cleaning. All sin, all pain, all mess will be gone. The door is opened wide. And the sign on that door will read, welcome home. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We now worship our Lord with His offerings.